Amen. Glory to God. You have your Bible tonight. If you would, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read from verses 9 through 14. 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 14. I'm reading in the New Living Translation, by the way, tonight. The New Living Translation tonight. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 14. Let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace in all of our lives. Father, we don't know anyone who compares to you. You are the epitome of everything good in our lives. You're the embodiment of all that we hope for. You are everything to us. There's nothing in our lives we can even compare to you. No material thing. No person can compare to you. Father, we thank you tonight. You've saved us from a devil's hell. You've redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. We stand here tonight in Christ, those of us who've surrendered to the Lord Jesus and accepted your offer of forgiveness through him. We stand here tonight in Christ, Father, totally free and forgiven. Lord, we love you and we bless you and thank you. Have your way in this service tonight. In this aspect of the service, Father, now lead and guide, direct, empower by your Holy Spirit. Father, give us unction and utterance. Give these all of these wonderful people who are here in the audience and those who are in the audience but listening through some other venue, Father, speak to them as only you can speak. Thank you for the ministry of the Word and the Spirit tonight. We'll give you all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All right, we're in 1 Kings tonight, chapter 19, verses 9 through 14. Let me read those verses. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, killed every one of your prophets, and I am the only one left now, and they are trying to kill me too." You know, we live in a busy and a chaotic world. And if we're not careful, there are things that are vying for your attention, for my attention. And if we're not careful to keep our eyes on the Lord, we can be distracted by all of the things going on around us. I remember years ago when my kids were small, and it was about this time of the year. And at that time, when they were young, we would get from them a Christmas list. And then we'd go shopping and try and get the things on their list. And then every year as a family, we also bought one big present. And the big present, whatever it was, that was for the entire family. And we all voted on that. And so I've shared this before, obviously, but I remember I came home from work, and I remember John Paul. He was just a little tot. He must have been 7 or 8 when I pulled in the driveway. I got out of my car. I barely got out of the car. He said, "Dad, I know what we're getting for the big gift for the family." And I said, "Son, well, you can't know that because we haven't voted on it yet. We vote as a family for the big gift." And he said, I've already got it locked down. His little brown eyes looking at me, you know. And I said, well, son, I don't think you do. I don't think you do. We haven't voted yet as a family. I'll never forget that year because I wanted that year a big screen TV. Won't forget that. I'm sure that was the will of God. Well, I'm not really sure that was. Maybe that was the will of Bill. But I wanted a big screen TV. I was absolutely convinced the rest of the family would vote along with me. We were going to get a big screen TV. I was sure the family would love that. But those little brown eyes looking up at me, he said, I've already got the votes. And I said, well, son, we'll just see about that. He said, okay, Dad, but I'm telling you, I already know what it is. And so as it was, you know, and, you know, we did this around Thanksgiving time. We would vote. And then Black Friday, we would go out and get the big gift, whatever it was, you know. And so, Thanksgiving was coming. And so we took the family votes. And just like John Paul said, he had the votes locked up. When I suggested the joy of a big screen TV, I didn't get one vote. I was completely outnumbered, completely outvoted. They had already talked about it. He had the votes on lockdown. And they wanted some ungodly piece of equipment, a treadmill. That's what they voted for, a treadmill. And so, you know, treadmills back then, I don't know what they are today, but they were around $1,500, and I was going to buy the treadmill. And I saw back Black Friday advertisement, hey, $400, $1,500 treadmill, $400, Black Friday only. And so I had the advertisement and we agreed, hey, we're going to get up Black Friday. Now, you know, Black Friday's different now. Black Friday's like all month long, you know, now. It's so different. There used to be a time when Thanksgiving was really just a time to focus on thanking God. I know young folk don't know that because now everything is marketing and everything, you know. The moment, you know, September hits, they start putting out Christmas decorations and going to a store, and it's all about the dollar now. And I guess to some extent it was back then too, but at least there was a time in the season, it seemed like to me, when we just focused on Thanksgiving. We weren't focused on shopping. We weren't focused on, well, you could just focus on Thanksgiving. A turkey and some prayer, thanking God, you know. And now it's all changed because now it's Black Friday. Every day is Black Friday. You got to buy it now. Get it now, you know. And so we had Thanksgiving meal and we're all set to get up for early. You got to get there early. Get the treadmill, you know, $1,500 marked down, $400. Got to get there early. And so we went to bed late. We went to bed late that night and not a one of us got up. Every one of us slept through. And it was around 8 a.m. when a rumble occurred in the house, and then a roar. Oh no, we're late, we've overslept, we gotta get our treadmill. And instantly everybody was up and hustling and bustling around, and everybody was running and trying to get, and somebody said, well, just throw on your jeans and brush your teeth, we're going right to the store. Oh no, we're late. And in the midst of that chaos, I'll never forget, just down in the inner recesses of my spirit, I felt this. Just have the family spend some time worshiping. And I was thinking to myself, this ain't going to be a very popular idea. But I did. The family was rushing. They were trying to get to the car. And they were saying, let's go. Everybody get going. I said, wait. What do you want? What? I said, no. Let's take our time. Let's go have our quiet time first. Quiet time, Dad. We ain't got time for no quiet time. We gotta go into the treadmill. It's Black Friday. We all of us left. We ain't got time for quiet time. We gotta go. And I said, guys, I know we missed that. And don't worry, we'll get the treadmill, but let's spend our time first worshiping God. I feel like we should just concentrate on that right now. And I could see the fire burning in the eyes of my family. And as I took out the guitar and hit a few chords, I could see those chords seemed to be bouncing back off the wall. And people were mouthing words, but they weren't singing. And it seemed like I was the only one really singing and worshiping. But I persisted and we worshiped God. And we got in the car with a somber mood and headed to the store with people thinking we've lost our chance. Wasting time worshiping God. I love this story when the kids tell it. They bring out all the little details when they tell it. But anyway, so we got to the store and I asked the salesman, hey, we're looking for this advertisement, the $1,500 treadmill for $400. Do you have any more? And he laughed and said, oh, no. He said, we got rid of those. He said, I think he said something like, they were gone by 5 a.m. He said, we only had 10 anyway. And he said, they were all gone. They were gone immediately. We got rid of them. There are no more. And he said, there's a whole series of treadmills out there, 1,500, 2,000. And so I said, okay. So they all looked at me like, ah. So I said, don't worry, we'll still get the treadmill. And I went to look at the treadmills, the $1,500 treadmills, and I was out looking at those. And all of a sudden, that man came barreling around the corner, and he said, sir, 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 do you still want the treadmill? And I said, the one on sale? He said, yeah, 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 do you still want it? I said, yeah, absolutely, I want it. He said, we accidentally knocked one over this morning. We didn't realize it. He said, we were in such a rush to get them out. We only had 10. We knocked one over, and we put all of them out. They sold instantly, but this one is left. I said, is it still for $400? He said, it's still, Mark, it's still $400. And I remember some lady was there, and she said, the treadmill, $400? I want one, too. He said, no, ma'am, we only got one. And he wheeled it out, and I bought the treadmill, $400. Now, how often they used it is another story, but I won't go into that. That's not the object of it. Thing could have been a big screen TV. What are you saying? We're entering in a time of year, we're entering into a season where there is so much hustle and bustle, where there is so much running and turmoil, where there is so much busyness to our lives, that if we're not careful, we get caught up right in the cycle of it all. And just because we went into the mall and saw the malls decorated, and we went into Macy's, and Macy's is decorated, and we saw on TV, you got to buy this now. And if we're not careful, we lose that sense of what this season is really all about. And tonight, you know, I just feel for these few moments, the Lord wants me to remind us to take that time to get quiet. In the midst of the hustle, the bustle, and it will get louder as the days move forward now. It will get louder and louder, and you will find yourself with increasingly less time. And so, the title of this message is Be Still and Know That I Am God. Here in the text that I read, it was a very busy time for Elijah. He had a great victory, after that great victory, Jezebel threatened his life, and then he got his eyes off the Lord and got his eyes on him, and he began to run. He was afraid. She said, by this time tomorrow, she said, may I be dead if I don't kill you? And he started running, and he ran straight from the presence of God. And sometimes in our busyness, sometimes in circumstances of life, things happen that can affect you and I. And if we're not careful, we get our eyes off of the Lord. You get bad news about something. You experience some trial or some trouble. And if you're not careful, you get your eyes off of the Lord. And Elisha here, he got his eyes off of the Lord. And the scripture says if you read up in verse 3, it says he ran all the way to Beersheba. And going to Beersheba like that, the scripture talks about that's kind of the bottom border of Judah. You know, oftentimes in scripture, when the Bible is describing the boundaries of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the scripture will say something like from Dan to Beersheba. Dan representing the northern part of the kingdom, Beersheba representing the southern part of the kingdom. And the scripture says that Elisha, he ran to Beersheba. And not only does he run to Beersheba, his eyes are off the Lord. He's afraid that someone's going to kill him, and his eyes are off the Lord. He runs to Beersheba as far south as you can go. And what comes after Beersheba is wilderness. And the scripture says he ran for a whole day in the wilderness. He leaves his servant behind, and for a whole day in the wilderness. And ultimately, the Lord confronts him, and the Lord calls him out of the wilderness and calls him back to Sinai, and he asks him twice, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah had gotten himself out of position physically. he was in the wrong place, out of position. And certainly spiritually, he was in the wrong place, out of position. And God asks him twice, in verse 9 and in verse 13, what are you doing here? And you know, when God asks us a question, he already knows the answer. God doesn't ask a question as if, well, I don't know what the answer to this is. If you could just enlighten me, I'm God, I don't know everything. If you could just tell me, then I would be informed on that. We know from the scriptures that he's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. And whenever he asked Adam, where are you? Where art thou? He knew exactly where Adam was. He was giving Adam a chance to acknowledge and confess. He asked Jeremiah, is anything too hard for God? Jeremiah had confessed in 32:17 that nothing's too hard for you, Lord. He asked in Malachi, will a man rob God? He asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? He knew the answer every single time. And here, as he speaks to Elisha, what are you doing here? He's out of position. Elisha's out of position. And we got so many people today, so many folk out of position. There's a group of people, they just float with no commitment from church to church. They'll stay at this church 6 months, and then they'll stay at another church 6 months, and then they'll go to another church 6 months with no commitment, no acknowledgement, just floating along, out of position. Every believer ought to find a local body to hook up with. I said amen. But then people get out of position from the will of God, and people get out sometimes ahead of God, and people just get sometimes out of his will, out of position, out of his will. And see, that limits our ability to receive from God. He's always going to help us as best he can. He's always going to give us as much as he can. But when we get out of position, we might be missing the fullness of the blessing because we might be out of position naturally and spiritually. And so Elijah has this encounter with God, and God calls him to the entrance of the cave. And in the entrance of the cave, there comes a mighty windstorm that hits the mountain. And after the mighty windstorm, as I read, then there's an earthquake. And after the earthquake, there's a fire. And Elijah is listening for the voice of God. But it's not in the windstorm. And it wasn't in the earthquake. And it wasn't in the fire. But the Lord's voice comes in a gentle whisper, the New Living says. It comes in a gentle whisper. And it reminds me that as believers, the primary way that God leads us is down on the inside. Romans 8:14, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It reminds me of Romans 8:16, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. It reminds me that God can speak in many ways, but the primary way he leads us is down on the inside through the inward witness. I said amen. And so often people are looking for some type of spectacular outward leading when really they should be looking inward, following the word, following the scripture, but looking inward for the leading of the Lord. And so often people are looking in the wind, they're looking in the earthquake, they're looking in the fire. Is that you, Lord? Is that you, Lord? Is that you, Lord? When really if they would look down on the inside, God could speak to us so clearly. So let me say three things to us quickly tonight. First, go to Psalm 46 with me. Psalm 46, verse 10. I want to make this first point, be still. Now, Psalm 46, verse 10 in the New Living says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. But there is the call first to be still. It is a call to be focused, to be still. In the midst of our chaotic, busy lives, this is a call for you and I to be still and our heart to be still in our lives. I believe we ought to make some time for the Lord every day, whenever that is. You may be a night owl or a morning person, whatever it is. I'm a morning, early morning person. But however you do it, you ought to make some time each day for God to just be still, to just be quiet. One of the best ways to be still is to worship Him. Just to spend a little time worshiping God. Be still. Worship Him. Enter into His presence. Worshiping God, it'll get your mind quiet. Yeah. So often, there are earthquakes going on in our mind of thoughts, avalanches of thoughts, the fire of so many thoughts, the heavy wind blowing of this thought and that thought. Should we do this? Should we go there? Should we do this? Should we buy that? But oh, the gentle whisper, the gentle nudging on the inside of the Holy Spirit is where often we just need to be still. Look at Mark 1:35 in the New Living. Mark 1:35. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And the scripture says that the disciples were trying to find Him during this time. He went out to pray. They were looking for Him. They were searching for Him. But He purposely got up before daybreak, and He purposely went out, and He purposely got away from all of them. And later they eventually find Him, and they said, Lord, we've been all over looking for You. But you get the idea reading the scripture. That's the very reason that Jesus got away from them. It wasn't because He didn't want to be with them. It was because He wanted to, in fact, be still in the presence of the Father, to be in God, to be in God the Father's presence. I don't think any of us would argue that we have a busier schedule than the Lord Jesus. And yet He found a way to take time to spend with the Father. And you and I can do no less. To be still is a call to quiet our minds from the busyness and the chaoticness of the world and schedules. Being busy, listen now, being busy is a necessity. We live in a busy world. We're going to be busy. Being busy is a necessity, but being still, listen now, is a choice. Being busy is a necessity, but being still is a choice. Look over at Luke chapter 10, verse 42 in the New American Standard, if I could have this one in the New American Standard. Luke 10:42, Jesus correcting Martha. As Martha tried to get Mary to help her, Luke 10:42, Jesus said to Martha, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part. She's chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Remember, Jesus came to their house and Mary went and sat at His feet and listened to His word. Martha was distracted by the busyness of preparation for all the big dinner and everything. But Mary went right to His feet in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the prep time. She sat right at His word. Undistracted. And Jesus said that was a choice. Said she's chosen. She's chosen that. She's chosen. And that's a choice that you and I have to make, to be still, to get our mind quiet. I tell you, reading the word will quiet your mind. Be still. Psalm 46. Go back with me to Psalm 46. So what was your first point? Be still. It's a call to be still. What's the second point? Be still and know that I am God. Second point, be still and know that I am God. And this implies not only that we get quiet before the Lord, but that we acknowledge all of His attributes. It requires us to focus. It literally means realize and discover who I am as God. The word know there means to be dominated by the thought that He alone is God. To be still and to know that He is God is to acknowledge every one of His attributes. He's a holy God, and that's one of His attributes. He's holy. Yeah. And He's a loving God. He loves us unconditionally, and that's one of his attributes. But not only is he holy and loving, I tell you this, God is faithful. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. Faithfulness is one of his attributes. And so often when we're going through things and when we get bad news or we hear something going on or something rattles our world, whatever that is, we lose sight of the very attributes of God. That he is a faithful God. That he is our provider. That he is our strengthener. He's our healer. He's our overcomer. Be still and know that I am God. That's the second point. Be still and know that I am God. When we get into his presence and we acknowledge who he is and we yield ourselves to the sacredness and the reverence of his holy presence, we become more sensitive down on the inside to the leading of the Holy Ghost, to his promptings, to his leadings. And then the Holy Ghost can minister to us in all of the various ways. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:3, John 16:7. 16:7 and 16:13. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7, and John 16:13. We can be sensitive to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do you know there's a divine encourager on the inside of you? There's a divine encourager. He's an encourager. He's a comforter. His name is God the Holy Spirit. And when things happen in our lives, the Holy Spirit rises to speak to us down on the inside, to nurture, to encourage, to strengthen us, and to help us. In the toughest season of my life, I remember on the inside, God the Holy Spirit rising to comfort me and to say, keep your eyes on me. And to say, walk in love and stay focused. And to say, keep your mind renewed. And then to say, when I bring you through, you won't even smell like smoke. Amen. Yeah. God knows exactly how to encourage you. He knows exactly how to lift up your heart. He knows exactly how to speak to you. Will we be still? Will we be still and know that he is God? I want to share my final point. What was your first point? Be still. Learn to be still. Make time to get in his presence. Make time. Find some place to spend with God to get your mind quiet. I love to go back and just read my prayer book. I love to journal what the Lord is saying. I got a little prayer book, and I love to write in there what's going on in my life. I was looking in my prayer journal. I read in there, 1985. I was believing God for brakes on my car. I needed $80. That was all the, it took all the faith I had, believing God for $80. But I wrote in there how God gave me the $80, and I was able to get my brakes fixed. What are you trusting God for? Be still. Secondly, be still and know that he is God. And finally, be still and know that he is God and wait in his presence. Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, if you will, verse 7. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37. And verse 7, it says, be still in the presence of the Lord and what? And wait patiently for him to act. I love that. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Oh, man. When we get our mind quiet, we can be sensitive to the role of the Holy Spirit. We can be sensitive to the power of God's holy word. When we become still and know that he's God, we become focused on who he is. He is our awesome Heavenly Father. We focus on his attributes. We focus on he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never be unfaithful to us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what you're facing. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, and wait in my presence. Here, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Look at Psalm 62. Go over to Psalm 62 real quick. Psalm 62. This element of waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. So often we act first and then ask the Lord to bless what we acted on. Wait a minute. We ought to wait on him, get his leading, because his blessing will always be on his leading. And if we'll wait on the Lord, we'll know what to do. He'll lead us and guide us and show us what to do. Psalm 62, verse 1. I waited patiently before God, for my victory comes from him. Psalm 62, verse 5. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. The scripture calls us to be still. The scripture calls us to be still and know. The scripture calls us to be still and know and then wait on him. My brother and sister, you have decisions to make. You have responses to give. You have to choose how you respond in every situation in life. But if you'll be still and know and then wait on the Lord, he can lead you and guide you in every single situation. I want to close tonight going back to the scripture we started with. Go back one more time with me to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. One of the things that Elijah says to the Lord when God asks him, what are you doing here? He's out of position spiritually. He's out of position physically. And he says, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one doing what's right. But remember, wrong thinking will always get us off track. Here he is so self-centered. He says, I. And you can tell where his eyes are. They are focused upon him. And yet scripture calls you and I to have our eyes focused on the Lord. As he goes to the mouth of that cave and experiences that mighty wind and the earthquake and then the fire, he comes to grips with the fact that God's voice is in a gentle whisper, that he's got to clear out wrong thinking. God corrects his wrong thinking. God tells him, you're not the only one serving me. I've reserved 7,000 people serving me. Your facts are wrong. Your information is wrong. Your thinking is wrong. God had to clear up his thinking. And so often our thinking is wrong. Our thoughts are wrong when we're not centered on his word. Can I get one amen? Amen. Wrong thinking will get us off track every single time. But if we'll get still before the Lord, and if we'll know that he is God, acknowledge his attributes, and if we'll wait on him, then it really doesn't matter what we're going through. It really doesn't matter what happens in the busyness of this holiday, wonderful holiday season coming up. You'll be able to really enjoy the holiday when your heart is centered on the Lord, when your thoughts are aware of who he is and his attributes, when you're positionally lined up in his will, physically and then spiritually. It is such a thrill to enjoy whatever season comes along. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. Let's pray. Father, in this time we've endeavored to share what you laid upon our heart today, to share for today. And so, Father, we leave the word. We entrust it's your word. These are your beautiful people. Speak to every heart with application now. Father, we all need your word. And we trust the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. Some have gotten such hard news, tough news. Some have so many tough choices to make. Some people listening to this message are incredibly busy, and they're making decisions, some of them out ahead of your will. And yet you call us from the busyness of our lives to make that individual choice to be still and know that you're God. We trust you. We look to you. We thank you for leading us and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. My friend, tonight, you need somebody to agree with you. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer? Well, that's what these anointed men and that's what these anointed sisters are coming down here for. As we close tonight, come on forward. They'll pray with you, agree with you. They're not here to counsel you, but they will agree with you. You want somebody to hook up with you in prayer? Then come on forward. What do you need from the Lord? Someone says, I want to be saved. Oh, it could be nothing better than that. Come on forward. They'll lead you in that. Someone says, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I need deliverance in some area. I just need somebody to agree with me. Come on forward. And you won't leave here like you came. All right, stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. As we prepare for the joy of the holiday season, I encourage you to not throw your time with the Lord out the window. I encourage you to not let yourself get so busy that you lose sight of Him. I encourage you to be still, to know He's God, to wait on Him. Don't forget to pray for our pastors. We have the best pastors in the world. Don't forget to pray for them this week, and we'll meet you right back here Wednesday, Hour of Power. What do you say? God bless you, one and all.